There are a lot of paradoxes inherent in being a human. I talk about them often, I think. Some of them are like the harder you try to fall asleep, the less likely it is that you will. The more you try to avoid thinking negative thoughts, the more likely it is that they'll pop into your head. And maybe most unfortunate of all, your greatest meaning in life can come from some of your greatest pains. We've heard the wise folks talk about all of that in different ways many times. They all teach some version of that deep truth that the broken parts, the cracks, are where the light gets in, or the holes in the bucket leak the water that nourishes the seeds of your life, or you hurt where you care, and so on. Writer J. Mike Field says, "No one likes to talk about how healing is directly related to how much pain you're willing to witness and consciously feel. It's not love and light, it's shadow and flame." I've always said, and I truly believe, that the success of any life, the capacity for authentic happiness and peaceful contentment, is directly related to a person's willingness to be uncomfortable, a person's willingness to look at themselves and the world unflinchingly in the pursuit of truth and a growing self-awareness. Psychologist Diana Hill calls this a person's discomfort tolerance. And it's defined as the mindful practice of working with difficult feelings rather than avoiding them, recognizing that meaningful growth and action often requires feeling pretty bad first. And notice too that it's mindful practice. It's not just being uncomfortable all the time, which I think we do pretty well, pretty mindlessly, in fact, for a long time. But it's the awareness, the intention, the mindfulness that matters in healthy discomfort tolerance work. She goes on to say that increasing your own discomfort tolerance requires knowing and believing that the avoidance of discomfort often leads to greater suffering. You have to believe that the willingness to experience discomfort expands all of life's possibilities. And you have to know that mindful presence, real presence during difficult times, builds resilience. I think we all know on some level that a meaningful life isn't free from discomfort, but comes from pursuing what matters, comes from pursuing what matters despite the presence of challenges. Here's an example. 2 weeks before I was set to fly to County Clare, Ireland, for a 7-night writing and walking retreat with the family of John O'Donohue, I reached out to the tour organizer, and I'd had these arrangements in place for at least 6 months. Thousands and thousands of dollars had already been spent, but I sent Anne Cahill an email and said, "Anne, I don't think I can go." I had been filled with this terrible, anxious resistance, partly because I had put together a patchwork quilt of Liliana's care for while I was gone, with good friends picking up some pieces and my mom, and a complicated schedule of pickups and drop-offs and overnights. I was factoring in her first homecoming dance as a high schooler, social obligations and volleyball practices and volleyball games. To honor the complicated nature of the plans involved, Liliana created a group chat for everyone who was participating, and she humorously titled it, "Where's Lil?" It was the first month of her freshman year, and she was adjusting, and I was adjusting. I felt worried and sad. I was going to miss her first high school dance. Other parents were going to be there to take the pictures. It felt selfish and indulgent even to jet off to a foreign country while others held the pieces of my life together. That was true. But it was more true that if I take my own advice and if I look unflinchingly at what was going on, I was actually caught in a pretty familiar pattern of anxiety and avoidance that had nothing at all to do with Lil and her schedule. I was worried about going to Ireland and not making any friends. I was worried about the awkwardness of being on a trip with 24 strangers and the need to make small talk and share a bathroom. I was afraid of flying and being miserable somewhere that I couldn't leave easily. It would be so much easier to just stay home and manage the familiar discomfort I experienced on a daily basis that included running my life. And being in that place of ambivalence, that place of not actually knowing if I was going to do the thing, was a familiar struggle. And staying home would have been a familiar and safe choice. Brianna Wiest says that often familiar discomfort feels comfortable. That's not what we're going for here when we're working to increase our discomfort tolerance. We're talking about the kind of discomfort that helps us grow, that is new and challenging. After some back and forth with Anne, who honestly was the epitome of compassion and care, such a beautiful and incredible woman, I did, of course, as you know, go to Ireland. And I'm happy to say that everyone did know where Lil was all the time. And I experienced some of the most magical, deep, enriching days of my life. I discovered and believed that the old stories that I had about myself weren't true. Probably they hadn't been true for a very long time. I am able to make friends on the fly. I don't have to be weird in familiar in unfamiliar social situations. I can be a meaningful member of a group of people all trying to find their way. I belonged in an instant just by letting go of all the trying. Does that make any sense? The closest I can come to explaining it is a little piece written by the author of the One Mind blog. He just goes by Pierre. He talks about surrender, which I thought was a fascinating tie-in to this idea of discomfort and action and growth. He says, surrender is certainly not the lack of action. Surrender is a deep willingness to not avoid or escape or resist any part of life itself, but to meet it face to face with our eyes open and our hearts wide so that we can see, so that we can see exactly what it is that we're dealing with. On the other side of surrender, he says, on the other side of surrender is always clarity. Once we surrender, once to the acceptance of exactly what this moment is, then we stop trying to change the direction that the winds blow and we ask instead, how do I set my sails? Surrender is the most productive thing you could possibly do. I'd never heard it phrased quite like that before. And I feel the call to that wisdom again in light of what's happening in our country in this moment. I feel the call to that wisdom in the face of the two murders in Minneapolis and the subsequent unfathomable responses from our national government. This is a time requiring that we turn toward discomfort in powerful and productive ways. It's a call to surrender any remaining rationalization that you may have, any remaining avoidance or magical thinking about what is happening. It's time to recognize what we can change and what we can't, so that we can become clear about what to do. It's time to fall deeply into a willingness to not avoid or escape any part of life, no matter how unpleasant, but to meet it face to face with our eyes open and our hearts wide, so that we can see what it is we are dealing with, so that we can find that clarity, the clarity that leads to right action. An action my current clarity is calling for is to create a space for us here at the church, for any of us, any one of us, any group of us who want to think and plan and learn together and process together around how to engage in effective responses to this moment. I have an imagination that maybe we'll use a curriculum or guiding questions or just listening space, probably all of the above. But the goal is to have a space where we can talk about what is needed, what we're trying to do and doing in our own lives, how our UU values can be embodied in a myriad of actionable ways. I want a space where we process what's hard on a regular basis, where the internal conflicts and struggles are, we can lift them up safely together. But most importantly, we can talk about how to turn toward that discomfort, the powerful, productive discomfort, and come out with a sense of knowing about what is ours to do, and then to support one another in the doing of it. I imagine that that group might meet once a week or once every other week, and I hope you'll pay attention for the invitation to join us in the coming days, because this is what's true. Someday, a bird will poop on your shoulder, and you'll have to decide how you're going to deal with it. This is that day. There have been lots of those days. In fact, there's bird poop everywhere, and there's no point in pretending, hoping, or wishing that there wasn't. So let's turn toward whatever discomfort we've been avoiding, whatever it is for you personally, whatever it is societally or globally or nationally, turn toward whatever discomfort you've been avoiding, and then surrender. Surrender so that clarity might arise. The world is blooming and burning. This is the dual citizenship of being alive. Rage and reverence, grief and grace, you are allowed to feel both. Let it all in.